I'm wrestling, not weak for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's going on, everybody? You're listening to T-Row and Funky Show number 85, brought to you as always by Defense Soap, Defend What You've Built, and Dahlemer Mats. And today we are not only joined by our fantastic co-host Tommy Rollins, but by head University of Michigan head coach Joe McFarland. Joe, how's it going today?
It's going great, man. It's good to be on with you guys tonight.
I was kind of, Tommy, maybe you can comment, but I was shocked Tommy was even willing to have this conversation because I know, the rivalry between Ohio State and Michigan runs deep.
Well, you know what's funny, Ben, say that for a number of reasons. One, I had Coach McFarland's cell phone in my phone. I had his contact in my phone. You didn't, so that shows I do like the Blue Bellies more than people think. And secondly, not many people know this. Actually, I've said this on the podcast before.
I think you might have said this.
Michigan was absolutely my second choice, and Coach McFarland. I've known Coach McFarland for years. So, Coach, thanks for coming on the show. I like Michigan a lot more than most people think. You know that.
No question, man. And I through the recruiting process, I actually recruited both of you guys.
Yep. Yes,
and,
sir.
Although you guys ended up at different schools, I enjoyed watching you guys compete over the years, man. So, really, to be honest with you, it's an honor to be on here with you two legends, man. You guys have watching you guys compete over the years. So, sounds like I'm buttering you up right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah, so you can throw me some softballs right here, some softball questions.
So, Joe, when was your first year at Michigan? Because I know Tommy's very old compared to myself.
If you were the head coach, I tell you that, Ben, if I tell you that, I might be dating myself. So it'll make me look bad.
Well, okay, what year are you on? How about that? Is that a fair question?
I spent 5 years. If I graduated from Michigan, I spent 2 years as an assistant coach. And then I went down to Indiana where I spent 5 years, 2 years as an assistant, 3 years as a head coach.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to come back as a head coach. So I spent seven more years at Michigan. I came back in 92, spent 7 years as assistant coach and took over in 99. So I'm going into my 19th year.
Wow, cool.
So it's unbelievable how they've just flown by, man. Be honest
with
you.
Hey, Ben, one thing that Coach McFarland failed to mention, and one of the reasons why it's easy to have him on the show, is that he's an Ohio boy. He's born.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep, I'm a Cleveland guy. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep. Come from a big family. My wife is from a big family. We're both in the same area in Cleveland, West Side. And we have some Buckeye family members that we constantly fight with. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know.
So my in-laws and my brothers, we fight that feud all the time.
So I'm feeling kind of stupid right now because I can't think of who the Michigan head coach prior to you was.
Dale Barr.
Oh, and he was there for like 40 years, right?
Dale Barr was here for 21, I believe.
Okay.
I think he came here in like the late 70s. And then, his last year was 89.
Okay. Got it.
I take that back. He came back in the late 70s. His last year was 90. Yep. 90. What year did I take over? 99. Yeah, I took over in 99. So his last year was 98, 99.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into more current events. And Tommy and I were trying to rattle off all of your All-Americans that are coming back. Can you hit that for
Who'd
us
you
real
get?
Quick?
Well, how many did you get?
I'll give it a shot. We got Micić,
yep.
Massa, Kuhn, Abinader, Pantaleo, Amin, and
yep.
Beasley.
Yeah. Correct.
So is that seven?
That's seven, but Avenator's never been an All-American.
What?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, seriously. No, he never has. He's had some tough luck at the NCAA. He's had some great years.
Wow.
He's been a great competitor for us. He's been Big Ten champ. He's had some tough luck. I don't want to go into it, but he has. He's had some tough draws at the Nationals, and you know how that works out sometimes. He's one of those guys that I think that kid could be in the hunt. He'll be in the hunt this year at 84. I really do.
Wow.
He's tenacious on top. He's been working really hard. He's had a great summer. So, yeah, but he's never been an All-American. But everybody, I think everybody assumes he has been.
Yeah.
So what's interesting, Coach, and Ben and I kind of alluded to this last week, and it was kind of the reason we wanted to reach out to you on the show, is that, you know, it seems like the national wrestling community is kind of inherently, whether it be right or wrong or maybe a little bit of both, they're inherently, you know, making it a two-team race with Penn State and Ohio State. I think that's kind of in the subconscious of the wrestling community. And Ben and I were talking offline throughout the week, and it's like, you know what, obviously Okie State's got a squad, and then you guys have six All-Americans plus a Big Ten champ in Avenator plus a good recruiting class plus, you know, is internally at Michigan on the team – is there some dialogue between, you know, amongst the team and amongst the coaching staff with your guys that, like, hey, you know, we're being a little bit overlooked here? Because to me, I kind of apologetically felt that way in the middle of the week. I'm like, I cannot believe we're not talking about Michigan when they've got the firepower that they have. And what is the dialogue like internally if, you know, when you hear stuff like that?
Yeah, I think you're probably a little right on there, and you know, we're just getting going here. You know, we're in our first couple weeks of school and stuff, but that will be the dialogue. I mean, you know, I think it's great, to be honest with you, because everybody's talking about Ohio State and Penn State, and, you know, for good reason, I guess. I mean, if you look at their lineups, you know, they're both pretty darn good, and you know, Penn State has five number ones coming back. And, you know, so, you know, with that being said, though, I like the team we have. I like the way we've trained all summer. These guys have sort of had a chip on their shoulder all summer and stuff. And so, you know, I think, should we be in the conversation? I think so, but I think in time it'll all play itself out. But, I think our guys feel a little bit like that, but hey, we got to prove ourselves too, though. You know what I mean? Those other two teams have been on the top the last couple of years. So, I mean, we've got to prove ourselves.
Yeah. I hear what you guys are saying there. And obviously as I'm not maybe a wrestling historian over the past 40 years, but I've followed very, very closely over the last 20, and a team coming back with six All-Americans, I mean, I can't remember a time when they've been third in the pack. I mean, you know, like Tommy said.
I agree, yeah.
So it's really crazy. Let's get on to your guys for a second. So what was it like to have three of your veterans, Kuhn, Pantelio, Tommy, and
before Ben gets
what?
Into it, Ben calls him Pantaleo. And I always correct him. I believe it's Pantaleo, right?
It's Pantaleo.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
We get that a lot. I mean, you know, he comes from a great wrestling family. You know, his uncle was an NCAA runner up here, a couple time All American.
Joe was his uncle, I'm guessing.
Yes, Joe was his uncle. Yeah.
Oh.
You know, his father Mike and his uncle were great collegiate wrestlers as well, and so we get that a lot when we go to tournaments. You know, I'm sure Alec could probably say the same. You know, it is Pantaleo, but we've heard it pronounced Pantaleo as well. So, yeah, I think you got it down now, Ben, right? Pantaleo.
It took a lot of practice, but I got there. So with those three guys being on redshirt, obviously they're mature, they're leaders. I guess what was their season like? I know they didn't compete a huge amount, but Pantaleo did make the junior world team. I guess what was their season like?
Yeah. Kuhn and Avenator were both coming off some surgery. So, you know, we were just concerned about getting them back healthy and you know, making them progress through some rehab and stuff. So theirs was a little slower, obviously. Whereas, you know, Alec, we just decided to redshirt him. We felt he needed it. He wanted it. You know, he just come back from the junior worlds in the fall. And, we figured, yeah, heck, as long as we're redshirting Kuhn and Dominic, we might as well redshirt Alec. And then, and we did. And so we still had a pretty nice little season, considering those three guys were out of our lineup. But, yeah, like I said, those other guys were basically rehabbing most of the year and working on some strength gains and whatnot. So, but I think all three of them had a really good summer, you know. They're all ready to go now and looking forward to the season. So,
does Coon really want to be an astronaut? Yeah, does Coon really want to be an astronaut? Is that true?
No lie, he does.
Come
on. He wants to be an astronaut. I'm not lying. I know. You know, he thinks so. You know, that's how he's. I mean, he's a very, very intelligent kid and aerospace engineering major. You know, once he found out that he's probably a little too big for the space capsule. Then he was focused on trying to design and engineer a space capsule that would fit, you know, larger astronauts in there. So that's how he thinks. You know, I probably would have been. Well, I guess that dream's over with. Move on to something else. He's not like that. He's not wired that, so he's still thinking that.
Man, I mean, the life of an astronaut seems pretty miserable. You're stuck in this freaking spaceship, eating shitty food. I mean, there's nothing fun about it, is there?
Yeah, but Tommy and Ben, come on, man. How many years did you guys spend in wrestling rooms and sweatsuits and rubber suits? Come on, I mean.
Well,
it can't get any worse than that, right?
They were only not eating half the time or so.
Oh, yeah, man. Exactly. so that's one of his dreams, and you know, he wants to be an Olympic champion. He wants to walk in space, and he also wanted to possibly think about playing in the NFL.
Come on, how is he?
That's the trifecta right there. If he can do all three of those, he's going to be the most interesting man in the world.
Those are his three goals. I'm not lying. You know.
Oh wow!
I'm not lying. Listen to this one. You know, and sometimes things happen and plans change. But, you know, when Adam hurt his shoulder at the trials, at the Olympic trials, when we eventually found out that he had a torn labrum, you know, he had to have surgery. So that sort of changed everything. But initially he was going to wrestle last year and he was going to play football this year. He was going to play football this year. He was going to go out in the spring for the football team.
Seriously?
I had Coach Harbaugh over here, met him.
Wow.
Yeah, their defensive staff too. Their defensive staff, they love wrestlers. I'm sure they do a lot of the big programs. They like these guys that played football and wrestled in high school and stuff. That was a plan that we were working on, and that all changed. When he hurt his shoulder, so now he's going to finish out with his last year of wrestling.
Wow. So what does Coach Harbaugh think about wrestling? I bet he loves it, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah, he knew a lot of wrestlers back in the day when he was here, and he does. He loves them. He loves the wrestling, the guys that wrestle. He knows what kind of background we come from, and the kind of work ethic that wrestlers have. I mean, there's probably not a college football coach that doesn't like kids that wrestled at some point in time.
Yeah, that's for sure. So let's stick on Coon for one more question. What has the guy got to do to beat the greatest American wrestler of all time this year at NCAAs?
Yeah, I tell you, that's a.
Well, just to warn you too, Joe.
Oh, go on.
Not only has Kyle won two world championships and an Olympic title, he also beat up Tommy Rollins in the wrestling room one time.
He did. Right. He did.
Let's talk about that a little bit more first. Can we talk about that first?
Coach, just so you know, Coach, we're on like episode 87 or something. I think that's like the 40th episode Ben's brought up Kyle whipping me. So.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to go back to the archives. I want to listen to that a little bit more. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I've got a ton of respect for Kyle Snyder. I mean, what he's done has really been absolutely incredible. And, you know, he spent a week up here training with us. I don't know, it goes back a couple of years, but, you know, he's just got an incredible work ethic. And what else can you say about the guy? I mean, you know what I mean? You know, his number one ranking is well deserved. But, I can say this about Adam. You know, Adam's, you know, he's one of those guys that looks forward to these kind of challenges. And like a lot of elite wrestlers, they look forward to that and they train for it. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to watching that match. You know, Adam's about 285 right now, 290.
Wow, he's that big? I thought he went like 250.
No, he's big now. He's about, you know, he was 315 this summer.
Come on.
No lie.
What?
Yeah, he put on a little bit of weight. Some of it was coming back, but I'm not lying. He was 315.
Wow, I didn't realize
he's
he was
down
that
to
big.
285. He'll be you know, during the season he'll be 275, 285 pretty
well,
consistently.
I think the last time, and to your point, Coach, I mean, obviously Kyle's a favorite, but I think that, you know, when you look at Adam's resume and what he's done in wrestling, he's clearly an animal. And the last time they wrestled, I believe it was like a year and a half ago at the Big Ten tournament. Am I correct in that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are right. Yep. It was a pretty good match, wasn't it?
And I'm telling you, you know, I feel like it's the hardest Kyle's had to work other than the Gwiz match in his collegiate career at heavyweight. And so, you know, I still favor Kyle. I think most people would. But I think that, to your point, it's going to be a really interesting dynamic, because when you see a 285-pound guy that knows how to dig underhooks to both sides, you know, he knows how to apply pressure without falling over himself. You know, there's a lot of things Adam Kuhn can
Tommy,
do.
Tommy, is that these other guys accomplishment at heavyweight, pushing into someone without falling over?
You know, Ben, exactly. I'll step into McFarland, since I'm a heavyweight, it's a little bit more self-deprecating. But yes, I do believe that is an accomplishment.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I just.
I tell you what, old Tommy, man, Tommy. You, I mean, think about your era of heavyweights. There were some, there were some great heavyweights back then. You had some great matches, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, I do think though. I mean, Coach. I mean,
it's an intriguing matchup. Those two, I think. You know, it's
I'm
really
sure you're not going to let us know. I'm sure you're not going to let us know the exact strategy, but
no.
I mean, I would imagine that putting pressure on Kyle Snyder is on the docket, right? I mean, I would assume that that's part of the strategy, right?
Well, I tell you what, though. I think, you know, anybody that wrestles Kyle is going to have to put pressure on him in order to win. I mean, there's no way you cannot, really. I mean, the guy's you know, he's done it all, and he's a hell of a wrestler. So I would never make any predictions, but I know Adam's very competitive, and this drives him, I think. This really drives him. Mm-hmm. So, and that's great for Adam, and that's great for Kyle, because it's going to, you know, those guys are, they'll be the matchup, you know, at some point in time this year. And I think everybody will want that, you know. So, but hey, you know, we're 0-1 against them, and Kyle's gone on and won a couple world championships and an Olympic gold. So,
of course,
he should be ranked number one.
Yep. Hey, so let's go. We talked about your red shirts a little bit. Let's go back to your, I guess they were your freshmen last year. They're your sophomores now. Both of them incredibly talented, and both of them – well, I don't believe in talent, so I should reword that before Tommy yells at me. Both of them incredibly skilled, and both had great years, but maybe, I guess, came up a little bit short, if you want to say that, in March. Stephen Michick and Taylor Massa – I'm sorry, Logan
you're missing
Massa.
Another Ben, you're missing another freshman, my man.
Oh, Miles Amin.
Yeah,
let's save him for later. Okay. Let's save him for later.
Okay.
So, you know, with those two, I feel like they kind of got overshadowed, but I got to assume that you feel, because I feel like it, they're both going to be hunting for national titles this year.
I believe that, you said it. I believe both all three of those guys would be in the hunt this year. I mean, I know, you know, the rankings don't really, you guys know this as well as I do. I mean, you can't put too much weight in the rankings, but I think it does show the workload that these guys have done. You know, Mitch is just currently ranked number two. You know, Logan's ranked number three, you know, behind Joseph and Martinez. And then, you know, I know Miles is ranked number four, is currently preseason ranked number four. So I think all three of those guys will be in the hunt, you know.
Definitely.
So, yeah. They're all three great guys. They pour themselves into the sport. You know, they're the kind of guys that you guys would love. They're there every day, trying to get better. They're mat rats, and all three of them are very competitive.
So, Coach, I gotta tell you, my favorite non-Buckeye wrestler right now is Isaiah Martinez, but my second favorite non-Buckeye is Michich. And this probably shows how much I don't follow high school wrestling, but I would assume that Michich has some type of Eastern European or European like coaching background, because the way that he wrestles, it's a little bit like the European, he's a little bit cat and mouse. And that's why I like watching him so much. What's his background? I mean, did somebody coach him differently or?
Real, it's very interesting. His dad did. His dad's from Eastern Europe.
Really?
And,
wow.
And, yeah, and his dad never wrestled. His dad did some like, jiu-jitsu and stuff, you know?
Huh.
And, you know, somehow, you know, Stevan got into the sport of wrestling. So his dad started studying, you know, wrestlers. And a lot of it was, like, you know, the Soviets and some of the Eastern European wrestlers. So those are the film and moves and stuff that they worked on. There's no question he's got, yeah, Stevan's got that European look to him. I mean, you could say in his stance, the technique he uses, which is, it's fun to watch. Really is fun to watch.
His match with Tomasello at the Big Ten,
yeah,
even though Tomasello
awesome.
Came out on top, was a phenomenal match. I loved every second.
They had a great one too. They had a great one at the Las Vegas tournament earlier in the year. That was fantastic.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen that one also. That was really good.
Yep. So looks like Tomasello's going down, huh? 25.
That is what we heard.
That's what I'm hearing. You know, I think that's what everybody's hearing. I went to watch practice a couple weeks ago. I didn't get to talk to Tomasello, but he looked a little bit more svelte than usual. So I think he's, you know, managing things a little lighter now.
Yeah, he's way down.
Tommy, he's a pretty good kid. Did you see him deadlifting?
I saw that on Instagram.
What the hell? This guy's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Oh yeah.
I mean, seriously, is it even healthy to lift that many weights? I don't go above like 300 pounds on a deadlift anymore because that shit's dangerous. But this dude's like half my size lifting 480 pounds or something. Freaking, I can't even fathom it.
Yeah, he's a machine.
So give us the background of Miles Amin because you know, I do follow high school wrestling. But I can't tell you that I was really very much aware of him before he came on the scene last year for you guys.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, his dad wrestled here. You know, I was teammates with his dad.
Oh,
his dad was actually a freshman my senior year. And then, I was here as an assistant coach for a couple of years. And so, you know, I was able to, be around Mike a little bit more then. And Mike ended up being, he was an All-American for us, NCAA runner-up.
Oh, wow.
So Mike was an NCAA finalist. So the boys have been, the boys have been wrestling him. He's got a brother, Malik, that's here as well. Malik's going to wrestle 40. He's going to be one of our 49-pounders this year. So Miles, I've known Miles since he was a little kid. I've been watching him grow up, you know, he won some state titles here in Michigan. We know how good he was. He won the senior nationals his senior year. We redshirted
really?
His freshman year. And then,
Wow.
Yeah, he won the high school seniors. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a tough kid, man. Got some pretty good. He flows really well, you know, and wrestles really hard. Attacks the legs a lot. He's getting better in other areas too.
I knew of Miles during the year because I saw that he was kind of coming up in the ranks, getting ranked decently high. But I had never really focused on watching him wrestle. And I drove out to Bloomington for the first day of the Big Ten tournament, and I watched him put Bo Jordan on the ropes. Bo ended up coming out on top, but. Man, he's got some good skills. He's got some real good instincts on him.
He does. He really does. He has good hips. He's got some really good leg attacks. He wrestles hard. He's got a pretty good tank on him. And, and he's got a lot of room for improvement, too, and he knows that. And he's been working in a lot of different areas, you know. He can get better in certain other areas as well that just going to, you know, help him develop as a total wrestler. But he's really into it as well, and he's a great kid. He's a great student. You know, he's in our Ross School of Business here, which is one of the top three or top four business schools in the country.
Yeah.
So he's a student athlete, man. He's got a lot going for him.
You cannot commit. You can't comment on recruits, correct?
Yeah, we can't. I can't.
Ah, jeez, because you guys just got a big one. I can say it. You just got Will Lawan to commit last week. I think that's a gigantic one. Obviously, he just won a Cadet World title, and I guess we'll leave it at that because you can't say anything.
Well, what I can say is we are recruiting. We are recruiting Will Lawan, and we are recruiting Joey Silva. We're recruiting. We got some other guys we're recruiting as well right now that are still out. We're really excited about the potential of this class, and we've got some other recruits that are at that level that have already been on campus, and we've got some more coming in. That we're hoping this could be one of our best classes, in a long time. I mean, we were off to a great start. But, yeah, I can't really comment anything, just the fact that we are recruiting these guys.
So, right. But you could comment, say, on your last class, correct?
I can. I can talk about some, you know, some of the kids in the last class. You know, we do have a great freshman class here. And it's a big class.
You had two Fargo champs in Drew Matten and Ben Freeman. They looked awesome at Fargo. I remember watching them. How are they doing in the room so far?
They're doing great. That whole class is just a thing we love about this whole class. They're all great workers. I mean, they are great workers on days off and here trying to get better. It's just one. They're going to be a special class. They really are.
So give you a personal background for me, Coach. And I don't know if you know this, but Mike Matten, Drew's father, hired me when I was training back when the Matten boys were real little. And so I've been up to the house a couple of times to help him out. And I've really always admired Mike Matten, his wife, and the boys, the four boys, on how they just how they conduct themselves. And so I've known Drew from afar for years and always been impressed with the entire family. So, you know, you've got to be really, really excited about a kid like that is as good as he is, you know, winning Fargo and stuff, but just the type of family, the group that he comes from. I mean, I think that's probably something you're just as excited about as you were as wrestling.
Yeah, there's no question. He comes from a great family, you know, and the boys, all the boys are very respectful. You can tell they've been raised the right way. They've got great work ethic. Drew is just like, I think he's just going to get better and better, but he's got a huge motor. He competes in everything we're doing, whether we're running, lifting, wrestling, drilling. I mean, he does it at the maximum all the time. And so I think it's just a matter of time. He's got a huge motor on him, and he's just going to get better and better, I think, you know, with that collegiate experience.
Will any of your freshmen this year be starting, or your red shirt and the whole group?
No, you know what? That's a good question. We're going to – you know what, we're going to go through wrestle-offs, and we're going to sort of see where some of these guys are at. You know, we didn't really want to, you know, because we get that question about Drew at 25. We get the question a lot about Ben Freeman at 41. You know, Freeman, he comes from great stock, too. His Al Freeman was an NCAA runner-up at Nebraska back in my era. And he won the Midlands one year. And Al, you know, he beat Daryl Burley. He beat Randy Lewis one year at the Midlands when he won it. I think that year he was second. I think he lost to – I'm trying to think who he lost to in the finals. He might have lost to Daryl Burley in the finals.
Oh, wow.
But anyways, Ben comes from really good stock, and we're real excited. He comes from the same mold that I was talking about in regards to Drew Matten. But we're just going to let everybody – all these freshmen, we're going to let them go through wrestle-offs. You know, there's a lot involved when you make that decision. You know, yeah, we got some guys that, you know, we're looking at possibly redshirting, but we're just going to – sort of let them go through wrestle off, see how they're doing in the room, see how they're doing academically, you know everything.
So coach, with you guys clearly knocking on the door, worst case you're knocking on the door for a national team title. That's the worst case. I think best case is, you know, it's, you know, you could do it. You know, with that being said, I would assume that internally it's all hands on deck, and whoever can wrestle, whoever can produce the best results for us is going in the lineup. We're not going to do the whole red shirt game, you know, because sometimes when your team maybe isn't in the hunt for a special achievement, it might be better strategically to hold guys out. But I mean, I'm wagering to bet that that's not the case this year, that just you're going to put the best possible team out there, or am I mistaken on that?
No, I think that's well said. I mean, we've talked about that. But like I said, we still – you know, let's say one of these young guys steps in and wins the wrestle off and is doing great in the room. We still got to have some conversations, you know, just to, you know, because it is a big decision, you know, whether you redshirt a kid or not. There's a lot that goes into it. But if he's going to, you know, because I wrestled for my first 2 years, then I redshirted and then finished out my last 2 years. For me, it worked perfectly. I really, getting that sense of what college wrestling is all about and going through the grind my freshman year, really, really helped me a lot, you know. And I was able to really take advantage of that redshirt year. Whereas sometimes, you know, I know the majority of kids will redshirt right away, but you know, I still think there's a lot to be said about maybe wrestling right away if you have the ability to wrestle and compete. I think
you know the other thing too, and this is just a general comment, but you know, because I redshirted my first year and I was pretty adamant about doing so, but the team I was on was really not in the hunt for anything. And I guess if you've recruited the right guy and the guy thinks the right way and the team is in the hunt for a championship, I mean, I would almost be disappointed if he didn't want to wrestle.
I want
what's best for my team. My team's in the hunt for the title. If I can score one more team point than the other guy at my weight, then put me in because that's what's best for my program. I mean, I'd like to think that that's what these freshmen are thinking, as opposed to, you know, hey, you know, it's better for me if I redshirt. I have a greater chance of doing whatever, four-time All-American, this or that. It's like, you know, yeah, but how many times do you get to compete on a championship team? I mean, at least I think that's probably the way that someone like Drew Matten or Freeman would be thinking.
No question. And I can already tell those guys are thinking that. But Tommy, you're exactly right. Think about, like, you know, being able to compete from weekend to travel, weekend to weekend, and compete with all these guys, with Kuhn, Abinader, you know, and Pantelio, Logan, Massa. I mean, it's Michich. It's just a great experience for a young kid to be able to be around all those guys.
Right.
You know, and it's just a great experience. You can't, those opportunities don't come around all the time, you know?
So no.
So that's probably we're thinking that, but we're still evaluating at this point. You know, it's just so early.
Can Matten make 25?
Oh yeah, he's gonna certify 25.
Nice.
Yeah, he wrestled 26 at the juniors. Yeah,
what
he's certified.
What does he weigh walking around right now?
Well, he got a little big after junior nationals, but
right.
You know, he probably got into the low 40s. You know,
right.
But he's already got his weight under control. I mean, he's a tough kid. He's one of those kids that's learned how to do that at an early age, you know. He
right.
knows how to handle it. And he does it the right way, too. He does it over time. He doesn't crash it. And
gotcha.
He's just that kind of kid. That's the way he's wired. You know? So he's already been over here doing the extra work and getting his weight down. He's already really cut back on his intake, just very strict with his diet. I don't think he'll have a problem making 25 this year, especially once he gets his weight down.
Nice. So the one guy we haven't talked about is your transfer – Kevin Beasley, and
yep.
We've been talking a lot about family connections. I think there's a family connection here too. Am I right on that, or am I way off?
With Kevin?
Yeah, wasn't his dad or something?
Michigan boy, I know that he's from Michigan.
Oh yeah, no, his dad. Yeah, his dad wrestled. Was a very good wrestler, and his dad was coached him growing up. As a youth and all the way, really, you know, through high school, was an assistant coach at Detroit Catholic Central, where Kevin went.
Okay.
And we did recruit Kevin out of high school. Didn't work out. I don't really remember the specific reason why. I don't remember how much we, you know, kind of offer we made him. But in the end, he ended up going to Old Dominion. We were hoping we would have gotten him right out of high school. But we're excited about having him in the program, though. Obviously, you know, he's going to be going to graduate school, or he is going to graduate school here now. You know, and so he'll be, you know, was an All-American last year, and he'll be vying for a spot at 197, you know. And,
nice.
You know, we've got Jack Strigow from last year who had a really good, you know, redshirt freshman year. And so, you know, those two, I can see those two getting after it in wrestle-off, so it's going to be interesting.
Oh, interesting. It'll be have some pushing right off the bat. So what about, I guess, we kind of hit on 25 a little bit, but – we talked about your six All-Americans. Who are the leaders in the clubhouse for the other three spots, the 25, 41, 49? Who are the leaders in the clubhouse there? Has there been a distinction made who the starter's going to be, or are we still waiting on that?
Yeah, we're still waiting on that. But we've got Austin Acid back at 25. You know, Austin was two-time junior national champ, and kid out of Brecksville, Ohio. Really, really good kid. Great work ethic here every day. One of those kind of guys. He's a mat rat, and he's healthy. He's coming off that he tore his ACL. I think it was like end of January last year, and so he's not able to go live, but he's drilling really hard right now. So he's at that point where it's going to be. He's really close to going live, and you know he's doing some sparring and stuff. So I can see him and Matten, having a dogfight in the wrestle offs, and we've got some. Another young guy, Jack Medley, who's a true freshman. We'll probably redshirt him. He was a couple-time state place winner in Michigan. Real tough kid.
Yep.
41, you're talking about 41 now?
Yeah.
41 is, it's just we've got a number of guys at that weight class, and that one is just going to be, it's going to, I couldn't even tell you who's going to be our starter at 41.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we talked about Ben Freeman. We got Ben LaMontilla, New York kid who's been in our program, who's really, really looked good. He was behind Mitchich last year at 33, and he's got a lot bigger, moved up, you know, was here the whole summer. And then we got Sal Pravasi, who's a tough kid out of New Jersey, who has been here all training all summer. And, you know, I don't even know. I honestly don't even know what's going to happen at that weight class, because all those guys are, you know, it's going to be a dogfight, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to touch that one. I'm going to let that one stop out.
Yeah, you sound like well, maybe not the president, because the current president is not very political, but maybe you sound like other presidents.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm serious though. That's about it. I don't even know what's going to happen at that weight. I couldn't tell you right now. Wow. I mean, I wouldn't even say there's anybody that's you know, in front. They're all, you know, guys are in here every day working to get better, and they're eyeing each other. They know wrestle offs are coming up.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see what happens. That our wrestle offs will be at the end of this October. So
nice.
And that's 49, you know, we're going to have a number of guys again at 49. Malcolm Mean was there, was in sparingly last year at times for part of the season. He's probably got the most experience. You know, I call him the junkyard dog, man. He's a tough kid. I think he's going to have a really good season this year. But again, he'll have to go through wrestle offs as well. He's got some other guys at that weight that have been here all summer and want that spot.
Definitely.
How does that sound? How'd I do on that?
That's a really good lineup. That sounds like a good lineup. I'd love to have it. Tommy, so I Googled over here. February 11th, Ohio State makes the trek north to Ann Arbor. I was thinking, Tommy, maybe me and you could meet up there.
I'm in.
Absolutely. You guys got to get here for that.
Because think about
– you know a date that's circled on my calendar way more than February 11th?
I don't know.
Is
what?
November 25th in Ann Arbor.
When
the Buckeye football team
takes out the Michigan Wolverine.
Oh,
yeah.
For God's
sakes. Yeah, the Buckeyes. Buckeyes are coming up. Yep, that's going to be a heck of a game.
So I'm actually taking a customer, Coach, to the game, and I was going to text you here when it got closer, see if you guys are working out that morning. I'd love to stop by and say hello or something.
Hey, so
absolutely. That's good. That's Thanksgiving weekend too, isn't it?
Oh, geez, yeah. So you're probably not around.
Oh no, I'm going to be here. I'll be around. We'll have all the coaches will be here, but we give the guys a couple days off. I think we come back on. I think we give them. We work out Wednesday. We might. Yeah, the game's here on Saturday, so I think what we're doing, we're probably going to start back up on Sunday morning.
Gotcha.
I don't have my calendar in front of me, but.
So hey, Coach, I got a question for you. Not to bounce around too much, but right before I stopped wrestling competitively, I went up to Ann Arbor and trained there for 5 or 6 days, and got to work out in the Bonner Wrestling Facility, which I think at the present time. Now I know Ohio State's breaking ground on their facility, and probably some other schools trying to one up you guys. But I think at the present time, it's the finest wrestling facility probably in the world. You know, what has that facility done for your program? Because, you know, at the end of the day, Coach, you know, you're a Cleveland North Olmsted guy. You know, I know you know that the room doesn't make you good. It's what you do in the room. But what has that facility meant for your program? What has it done for you?
Yeah, no question. I mean, the room doesn't make you great, but it is. It's a nice facility, and it's nice having the space that we need, because Tommy, you probably remember our old room over at Chrysler Arena, and it was we had 34, 35 guys packed in there, and it was, you know, as a coach, you're always worried about guys, you know, clipping another group or somebody getting rolled into, and it happened over time, but we've got 7,500 square feet of wrestling space, we've got our own weight room here, you know, we've got everything that we need in here, and it's nice having this kind of stuff. You know,
so coach, it's a tough question, but I'm hoping you can answer it. Does it help more with recruiting, or does it actually help more with training?
I think both. I do. I think both. I think it helps with But I tell you what, I think of that old room we had over there, man. And, you know, we had a lot of really good guys. I think of some great names that came through Chrysler Arena.
Yep,
you know,
right.
I mean, we had, you know,
Otto
Frazier
Olsen.
Otto Olsen, you know, Ryan Bertine. I could go on and on. We had a number of great guys that come through that old, beat up, dusty, you know, probably, right. you know, smelly to a degree room. And, you know, so right. you're right. You know, the room doesn't make the wrestlers. It's who you, it's what you fill them up with. And so, you know, we've been fortunate. We've been able to, you know, I think this has helped us fill it up with some really good quality wrestlers, you know. So it is a nice room. I do agree with you. It's one of the top in the country. And we try to keep it that way. And our guys, you know, so.
That's awesome.
You know, but we got, it's great for wrestling too. It really is good. Cause you know, Cornell did it first. You know, we were one of the schools that was early on trying to get this thing done. Cause we knew we needed it. Cause I think it was hurting our recruiting at the time because, you know, these kids were going to these real nice rooms and then coming to ours. And so
Is Michigan and Cornell the only two freestanding wrestling rooms that you know about in the United States?
It's gotta be more than that.
That I'm aware of. I really don't know, but
I mean, Ben, I can't in terms of D1 college, I think those are the only two.
You
I can't think of another.
Now I'm like, damn, like that can't be it, can it? It's gotta be more than that.
I know. I'm pretty sure Ohio State's is freestanding. I'm not positive on that, actually. I think it is.
Yeah, there will be. When are they going to start theirs, Tommy? When is that?
They broke ground.
Okay.
It's a construction site right now, so I don't know when it's going to be ready, but I know that there's actually people like, you know, forklifts and, you know, bulldozers and all that good stuff over there.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Hey, Tommy, you guys took me off in a different direction because I was trying to make a point earlier about this February 11th duel. You were talking about football. I don't care about football, Tommy. Freaking wrestling podcast. Think about this,
hey,
Tommy.
Hey, that match is going to be on ESPN2 now, and it's going to be 6 o'clock.
Okay, Tommy. Listen to this real quick, though, Tommy. Listen to this. Kuhn versus Snyder. Beasley versus Moore, Abinader versus Martin, Amin versus Bo Jordan, and Massa versus Campbell.
Probably Campbell. Yep.
That's that. Micah Jordan versus Pantaleo. Good God, that is a heck of a match right there.
Yeah, and then 41-33 and 25 is a little bit more underwhelming, right?
Pletcher versus Mitchich could be fun.
Oh wow, that will be fun. You know, I'm high on Mitchich, but I'm also high on Pletcher. I'm excited to watch that one too. So that'd be a good match.
Yeah. So that's. I mean, for wrestling fans, to come to that dual meet and see all those matchups. I mean, there's a ton of intriguing matchups. You know,
is that on a Friday or a Sunday, Coach?
It is on a Sunday, and it's going to be at Chrysler. We're going to have it at the Chrysler Center. We're moving into the big arena because we know we're going to have a huge crowd. Wow. And you know, with us bordering Ohio, we know a lot of those Ohio people will come up. So we're expecting a big crowd. So we're going to really, really promote that. I was excited to hear ESPN2 picked it up. It's going to be live.
Wow.
Time change. It's not on our schedule yet, but it will be at 6 o'clock. So, yeah, we'll have to get you guys up here for that.
That sounds like fun, Tommy. At 6 o'clock on a Sunday, I'm in, dog.
I'm in on that. And, you know, these two teams, there's no way they're not going to be both in the top four. At least I wouldn't imagine. So it's going to be pretty high profile at that time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, 100%. Yep. Okay, Coach McFarland, I think we asked you all the questions we wanted to. Is there anything we left on the table or anything else you want to get to before we let you go?
No, I just enjoyed, like I said earlier, man, I enjoyed watching you guys compete. It was great spending some time with you guys on your podcast.
I appreciate it, and thanks
for
coming.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you coming on.
Yep, sounds good, guys. You guys have a great night, all right?
See you.
All right, we'll see you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Tommy, stick around.
Yeah, man.
Oh wow, sometimes the call recorder cuts off. Hey, can you, Tommy, indulge me in a conversation for 5 minutes before I go watch the Packers game?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about.
Though?
What?
Are we still on the podcast?
We're still on the podcast.
Okay, just making sure.
Don't say anything profane. Hey, I think that duel would be fun to go to.
Yeah. So here's the only problem is
that
I'm going to Penn State the week before because I want to watch that match just
that,
as bad.
Those weeks are back to back.
Yeah, they got Penn what? State February 3rd. Penn State February 3rd. And then Michigan February 11th. Now the good news is I got three sons that like wrestling now, so it's kind of like a license to go watch wrestling.
That is
so I gotta play my cards right.
Your wife's probably like, Tommy, I will pay you to take those freaking rambunctious boys on the road.
Yeah, I'm actually in my basement right now, Ben, and I have – you know how in your basement you put old couches down there?
Yeah,
and these guys ravaged the cushions.
Oh, my God.
It looks like dogs chewed on them. So much interior puffy stuff all over the place. I'm firing mad right now. So, anyways, she probably would like for me to get them out of the house.
That is pretty funny. Hey, you know what? Actually – we had a good podcast. I want to talk about the new scrambling rules, but it might take too long. So why don't we just save it for next week?
I agree. And candidly, Ben, even though I kind of know the broad strokes, I haven't read it yet. So I gotta read up on it.
Read up on it.
Okay, man.
All right. You have a great night, Tommy. I will talk to you later.
Sounds good, brother.
See ya.
You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built.